It's just good to be here. Just good to be with the people of God. So many things happening in the world, and I'm just glad that there's a place that we can come, that we're all in agreement. We all know that Jesus is our help, and we can come together and pray and ask God's mercy and ask God to help and to heal the land. The land needs a healing, saints. Not only in America, but it's all over the world. Amen. Trouble is being stirred up everywhere. But we know a God who's in charge of this world. This is his world, and God can fix things. He can turn things around. God can make things better. God bless you. Please get your Bibles. We go to the Word of God this morning. We're asking you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Reading verse 22, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. God has given me to preach this morning from this subject. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. As we look at this passage, it says, look unto me and be ye saved. Every person born in the world needs to be saved. Because we know we all were born in sin. But there are people who do not know where to look. And that's the problem that we face in this world. They're looking to other gods. They're looking to their wealth, their intelligence. They think that I can just say there's a higher being and go about doing good and think that in the end everything is going to be all right. Well, that's not what the Bible will substantiate. As we look at this passage, that Jesus, the Word of God says, look unto me and be ye saved. So if you need salvation, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to spend an eternity in a place of eternal joy and happiness, you got to look to the Lord. And as we look at this passage, we find out that it's not just for a certain group of people. It says all the ends of the earth. In other words, whosoever will. Whosoever will look to Jesus for salvation. Salvation is available. I thank God for that. It's not just for the rich. Or it's not just for the poor. It's just not for one nationality. It's just not for one group of folks. It's for whosoever will. And I thank God. It says that as we look at this, it says all the ends of the earth. It says, for I am God, and there is none else. God declares that he is God. The Bible substantiates that there's only one true and living God. And that's the God of heaven, the maker of this world, who created everything that's in it, including you and me. Everything belongs to God. So God says that I am God. And then he went on to make it very plain, and there is none else. If you look into anyone other than the God of heaven, God says there's no other God. Now, there are a lot of false gods, but they can't help you. False God can't do anything for you. If you want to please God, you're not going to follow a false God, because God has made it very plain in his word that he said he's a jealous God. And we should have no other God before him. And you know, it's interesting that the devil is so deceptive that sometimes people make themselves God. And they're going against God. He says that he's a jealous God. There's none other. There's no other God. There's no other one that can do for you what God can do. There's no other one that can help you the way God can help you. Amen. There's no other one that will deliver you from the bondage of sin. There is no one else who will stay with you, stay by you, make provisions for you. There's only one God. And I thank God that those of us who are saved, we know him as our God. But I also am thankful that for those who are not saved, my God, our God, is available to you. Whosoever will. Oh, he says that you got to look to him and be saved. A lot of folks want to be saved, but they don't want to live by God's word. They want the blessings of God. They want all the benefits that goes with being a child of God. And they want to claim that they are God, but they don't live according to God's law. They don't obey God's word. If you don't obey God's word, you're not God's child. God's children obey his word. We will never forget that disobedience is a sin. And you can't disobey God and God be pleased with you. God hates sin. And I'm glad that God has made a way for us to live in this world and not live a life of sin. I'm glad that we can do this, saints. People don't believe it. You can run into people and they say, you can't live holy. You can't live righteous. You know, you got to fall down and you're going to, you know, slip up and you're going to go back. Well, they don't know the God that we know. Because the God that we know, he has made a way for us not to slip up. He has made a way for us not to go back. He has made a way for us that we don't fall down. He keeps us in his hand. Think about that. We are kept by the power of God. And God uses scripture to let us know that we're in his hands and no one can pluck us out of his hands. If you're a sinner, you're not in God's hands. You can't live a life of sin and be in God's hands. We need to understand that when God saves us, he cleanses us from our sins. We need to understand that when God saves us, God makes us a new creature. God creates us in his image. We don't need to forget. Man looks at the outward, but God is looking at our hearts. We need to understand that God works from the inside and then it's reflected on the outside. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when God saves us, he works from the inside. The scripture lets us know that he gives us a new heart. The scripture lets us know that he gives us his spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. Scripture lets us know that when God saves us, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, those things that folks say that we can't do. We can't stop sinning. We slip up. We fall down. Well, God cleanses us from the things that causes us to fall down. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then when God has cleansed us, see, salvation, as we know, is the work of God. When God has cleansed us, then the Bible declares that the Father and the Son come to take their abode in us. In other words, when we have the Holy Ghost, we have the Father and the Son living in us. And then the Bible so wonderfully states that Jesus has given us his word. And remember, he only speaks truth. Everything we read in the Bible that Jesus said is true. Everything written in the Bible is true. And if God declared it, we can stand on it. Amen. The wonderful promise that Jesus said, he said that he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He would be with us always, even to the end of the world. Think about that for just a moment. Think about that. When the Holy Ghost comes to live in us, the Holy Ghost is Jesus living in us, God living in us. We need to understand that when they take their abode in us, I am, you are no longer your own. We no longer do the things that we used to do as sinners. We no longer do the things that I want to do. Because as you look in the book of Judges, that's what happened to them. They did what was right in their own eyes, but it wasn't right in the eyes of God. When the Holy Ghost, when God comes to live in us, we do what is right in the eyes of God because God's children live by his holy word. We live by his word. And the life I live, it is not I. It's Christ in me. Just think about that for a moment. If Christ is in us, and we're no longer our own, as the Bible declares, and we are bought with a price, we have to glorify God in our body. That's just what we see when we look in the mirror. When you got dressed this morning, you looked in the mirror, you saw your face, your body. We have to glorify God in this body, the outer shell, and in your spirit. And that's what God does for us. When he saves us, he doesn't give us a new body. He gives us a new spirit. And the spirit lives on the inside. And the spirit that's on the inside will determine how you live on the outside. If you don't have God in you, you can't live a holy life. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can read the Bible, you can memorize the Bible, but you don't have the power that you need in order to do what it says. We need the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will help us to, and it will direct us to God's Word, and it will help us to do what God says because Jesus is in us, causing us to live right. Well, Jesus committed no sin. Jesus was sinless. And I'm here to let you know today, when he comes to live in us, Jesus is not going to commit sin. Think about it for just a moment. Forget about yourselves. Forget about that face you saw in the mirror this morning. I want you to go with me and just reflect on the inside, where Jesus is on the inside and Jesus is our life. Jesus is the one that controls us. He's the one that gives us guidance and direction. He's the one that leads us in the path of righteousness. As a matter of fact, the life I live, what people see is Jesus being magnified on the outside. If Jesus is in you, he's going to be magnified on the outside. That's why you're running to people sometime and you don't know them, never seen them before, and they'll just come right up and say, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" It's because Jesus is being magnified. It's something about just the way we speak to people. It's different. Our good morning is a different good morning from the evil folks. Folks can sense that something, that there's a realness in our good morning. And it's because it's Jesus in us. I want us to understand that when Jesus is in you, Jesus will change you. You will not live as you lived before. And you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live out of God's will. I don't want to live here in fear. I don't want to live here thinking that, oh, God's going to kill me because I did that, I went against him. I want to live here in freedom that God gives to me, freedom to do what he says, peace of mind, knowing that I'm walking uprightly before God and God is pleased with me. Oh, living for God is a much better life that I want to live here, knowing that all is well with my soul. Because the Bible makes it plain, one day we got to leave here. God didn't design us to live here forever. We're just passing through here. Amen. We're just passing through earth. Man, this is not where we're going to spend eternity. God has prepared two other places for eternity. One is a place of his domain, his kingdom, and the other is a place of punishment. And God prepared both of them. But oh, one day you're going to have to leave here. But you need to start making preparation for leaving. So that's the problem. A lot of folks, they don't make preparation for leaving. But as sure as you're born, one day your name will be called and your soul is going to leave your body and you're going to have to go away. And you're either going away to heaven or you're going to a place of silence, waiting for Jesus to come back to wake up all the dead. But you need to live here in peace, knowing that Jesus lives in me, knowing that I've been walking uprightly before God, knowing that I'm living according to his word, knowing that when it's my time to go, I'm not afraid because I'm making a transition. I'm leaving this troubled world, and I'm going home to be with my Father. Oh, we need to have that peace of mind. And I'm here to let you know today that you can have that peace of mind. You can have that peace of mind. Only one true and living God. We're going to look at, again, it says, look to Jesus. I want to, if you would, let's turn over to Numbers, the 21st chapter, where we can understand, hopefully get a little better understanding where God is saying, look unto him and be saved. Numbers, the 21st chapter. All right, Numbers chapter 21. In this 21st chapter, we are going to look at the children of Israel, how God had blessed them. They had just defeated the Canaanites. And then the Lord gave Moses a direction on where to lead them. And he led them on a journey. And they became discouraged. As much as those people has dealt with Moses, it looks like by now they would have known that Moses was dealing with God, and God gave Moses directions on what to do. And when Moses said something, it was because God said, do this. But people, it's like children sometimes. During the Christmas time, they want this, I want this, I want this toy, I want this, I want this. And then when they get it, they just got to have it. Then once they get it, 2 or 3 weeks later, where's that toy? Oh, I don't know, forgot all about it. They forget. It looks like sometimes people forget. Saints, we don't ever need to forget what God has done for us. We serve a good and a merciful God who is always doing great and wonderful things for us. And we need to never forget. But here, they became discouraged. And then we find out that they started murmuring. They were murmuring against God and Moses. Now, it's plain in the Bible that God doesn't like you to murmur. God has done too much for us to murmur. Then they start saying, you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. There's no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. In other words, then they start talking about the manna that God had given them. Our soul detest, call it light bread. God had just given them victory over the enemy. God had just blessed them to wipe out the enemy, gave them deliverance, and because it's not a smooth road. There are little bumps along the way, some pitfalls along the way. They started complaining. Saints, do you know that when we live for the Lord, there are going to be some bumps along the way? There are going to be some pitfalls along the way. But as long as you're following God, it doesn't matter. When we follow God, we know that everything is going to work out all right. So they started complaining. In verse 6, reading verse 6, listen what happened. See, when you murmur and complain against God, then God usually has to punish you. We need to watch our words. We need to watch our words, saints. Because sometimes folks start complaining against the preacher or somebody else, and then they're fighting God. Let's look what verse 6 says. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Well, we see that God is a God of vengeance. They brought that upon themselves. They were murmuring against God, who had delivered them out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, miraculously. And it helped them all along the way. And even our God gets tired of folks who are ungrateful. Amen. There's some folks that look like there's nothing you do can satisfy them. Ungrateful. Let's not be ungrateful people. Amen. So we find out here that God had a remedy for them, so they murmured against God and talked about his light bread. So God sent some snakes in there, and the snakes would start biting them. They were poisonous snakes. Amen. And they bit them, and they put that poison in them, and that poison killed them. Much people, a lot of folks died. It's because God took vengeance on them. Now, remember now, they complained against God and Moses, both of them. Now, look at verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now, remember now, they murmured against God and Moses. And now look where they had to come, right back to God's man. Came to Moses. But I'm glad they came in the right way. They came confessing, saints. They said, we have sinned. And that's what is necessary for everyone who is a sinner. You need to acknowledge your wrong. You don't need to try to cover it up. You don't need to try to fix it up. You just need to confess it and say that I am a sinner. Because you were born in sin. God says all is sin and comes short of the glory of God. You stop thinking about all the good you do I help the poor, I give to charities, I visit the sick and all that. That's not going to get you into heaven. That's not going to cleanse your sins. You got to confess your sins. You got to come to the one who said that he can save you. So they confess their sins. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. And that's the way you're blessed. Come back confessing, acknowledging you're wrong. And they acknowledge they're wrong because they were murmuring against God and Moses. And they acknowledge that that's what they have done. And I'm glad that when you confess your sin, God will do something for you. Over in Proverbs, keep a mark on the 21st chapter of Numbers. I'll be back, but I just want to read it. You don't even have to turn. I'll read it for you. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, the 13th verse, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You're going to cover your sins? You're going to try to act like you're not the only one that's doing it? You're going to look for other folks that, well, I'm not as bad as they are? And no, he that covereth his sin, it's not about what they are doing, it's what you're doing. You need to come to God honestly. You need to come with a broken spirit. Amen. You need to come talking about no one else but you, because you are the one that's trying to get right with God. So the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You got to come to God honestly. You got to come confessing. You got to come on and up to what you've done. Amen. You got to come say, it's me, Lord. It's me, Lord. I'm the one, Lord. I'm the sinner. I need your help, Lord. I need your mercy. Oh, God, have mercy. So the Bible says that when you confess them, and forsake them, that's repentance, turn it away from them, then God will give us a mercy. Amen. God is a merciful God. It's very plain in the Bible. Say, if you ask for mercy, God will give you mercy. But you got to come the right way. We got to come knowing we can't deceive God. We need to come knowing that God knows everything about us. Those secret things, those things that you've done, and you don't want nobody else in the world to know it because you feel so bad that you did something so terrible. I want you to know that there's one that knows. God knows all about it. Amen. And you need to come to God confessing it, because the Bible makes it plain that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, and he sees the good, and he sees the bad. And God does not forget. God knows everything. All right, let's go back to Numbers, the 21st chapter. So we look and see that after God's vengeance came upon them, then they realized that they had made a sin against God and God's leader. And they came confessing. They came confessing. And they wanted Moses to pray for them, that the Lord would take the serpents from us. Well, the Bible says that if you confess it and forsake it, he'll have mercy. They came confessing. They came turning away from what they have said and done. And they wanted Moses praying to the Lord that he would take away the serpent from us. And look what Moses did. He prayed. He prayed for the people. Now, Moses didn't get an attitude. Yeah, y'all were just talking about me. Now those snakes biting you. Now he should come to me now. No, going out there. No. Moses had a meek and humble spirit. Amen. Those people vexed Moses' spirit many, many times. But here we find out they asked Moses to pray, and we find out Moses prayed for the people. Let's look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Look at our God of mercy. Amen. Look at our forgiving God. Amen. They are asking for mercy, and God has given to them mercy. So God said, told Moses, make a replica. Make you a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. And then anytime those snakes, see, you, now I want you to look at something here, though. He said, and it shall, and any time make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. They prayed that, they wanted Moses to pray that God would take away the serpents. But we find out God did not take away the serpents. Because he said, if you put your fiery serpent on a pole, and everybody that is bitten, so that meant the snakes were still there. Maybe God left it there as a reminder. Amen. Oh, they're yet here, and I'm your deliverer. Amen. So it says, and everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. God is extending his hands of mercy. When you repent of your sins, when you turn from your sins, when you confess your sins, and ask God for help, God will help you. I thank God for that. So, as we look at verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. All right, now let's look what God had done. God did not take the snakes away, but God provided a way for them to be delivered by exercising faith. We know that there was no power in that brass fiery serpent. You know that it could not deliver. But what God said, make that replica and put it on a pole. And when you're bitten, you got to have faith and look at that serpent on that pole. Do you know in order to be saved, you got to have faith? That pole and the fire serpent represented a type of Christ. A type of Christ. This was not Christ, but it pointed out in order to not die, you had to look at that pole, fiery serpent on the pole, have faith. Because if you didn't have faith to look at it, you were surely going to die. Because the snakes were yet there biting people. God didn't take them away, but God put a place, God put something there that would help them, but they had to do what God said, and they have to. And when you have faith in God, you will do what he says. So God said, if you look upon it, everyone that look upon it, he shall live. He shall live. Oh, I thank God, saints. As I said, that was a type of Christ. Is pointing to Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Now, they had those serpents, live serpents that were in the camp, and they were destructive. We have serpents. We have a serpent that we had an encounter with. That serpent, the Bible calls him Satan. And those fiery serpents were killing, and the serpent that we deal with, he's a murderer. He came to destroy. Amen. He will kill you. As we go back to the garden, we find out that Eve had an encounter with the serpent. And he posed a question to her. And you know, it's interesting That's the way folks are today. They try to trick you up by trying to pose a question like they're sincere about it. Did not God say that, you know, you couldn't eat of every tree out here? And he said, God said that we could eat of all the trees except the tree out there in the middle, said that we couldn't eat of it or touch it. If we touched it, eat or touch it, we would die. Well, that's not what God said. But I guess she added a little to it. I guess she figured that in order to eat that, only I got to get it off the tree. But at any rate, the point is this. God said that you would die. What God says, saints, is truth. God means what he says. Don't let somebody else tell you like Satan told Eve. Satan is a liar. Folks who are not saved, they are liars. We know that before God saved us. We were liars. We told lies for our own convenience. We told lies to take advantage of people. We told lies to get out of trouble. We told lies on folks to get them in trouble. Amen. That's who we were, liars, like your father, the liar. Satan is a liar. So Satan told her, you won't surely die. Up in the second chapter, 17th verse, God said, if you eat of it, you're going to surely die. Now, that's what God said. God said, you will surely die. The liar Satan, the serpent said, you won't surely die. God just knows that the day that you eat of it, you no good for man. Something to make you wise. Saints, if anybody come to you and they try to glorify something to make it right when God said it's wrong, you better run away from them. You better run. You don't need to be following folks with their lies. It's because God says that he got speak messengers who say God said when he didn't say. God said you're going to get this, and God just moved. God said you're going to get up out of that bed and walk. God said that you're not going to die from this. You're going to be healed from this. And they say all that, and they do those things. Now, God can do everything they say, but God didn't tell them. They're false. They're not true. They're not real. God said they said when God didn't say, God's going to take care of them. And if you believe them, God is going to be disappointed with you. God has left his word. You're not going to die. You won't surely die. So she looked at it. See, that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to try to analyze it. If you know what God's word says, you don't have to analyze what the devil is saying. Just stay with God's word. Man, because they get it all fixed up, and sometimes they'll get you confused. Just know if God said it the way he said it, God is right, because God hasn't changed the Bible. The Bible said the word, he changes not. Man, he wrote it right the first time because God only speaks truth. So you don't have to analyze what they say. Just hold on to what God said and say, God, help me, strengthen me to stand on what I believe. So you're not going to die. So she looked at it, saw it was something to be desired. Be wise. And she ate of it. And when she ate of it, she transgressed God's law. In other words, she broke God's law. In other words, she disobeyed God. And whenever anyone disobeys God, in the eyes of God, it's a sin. It's a sin. God is right in what he says. God is always right. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Anyone who goes against what God says, they are liars. So she ate of it. And then she took it to her mate, her husband, and he ate of it. Well, the Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. In other words, the devil deceived Eve, but Adam ate of it knowing. He sinned on purpose. God gave him the law. Before he created Adam, he told Adam to stay away from that tree in the midst of God. And then evidently he passed it on to her because she could say, but God gave it to him. He knew God talked to him and told him to stay. So when she came to him with that, he was not deceived. He willingly disobeyed God. And he sinned. And when he sinned and she sinned, we sinned. They brought sin in the world. They brought sin to the human race. That's why every human being born in the world, we come here because we have the seed of Adam. And he had a sinful seed. And it's passed down through the lines of time. That's why we come here sinners. The Bible says the wicked go astray. Coming out of the womb. The Bible says they go astray, speaking lies. That's why God specifically talks about lying in the Bible. See, folks take lying not serious. It's serious in the eyes of God. It's serious in the court system. Go down there and lie and let them catch you. That's perjury. Man, they'll put you to jail. They can fine you for doing that. But God, it was God's law before man got it. God said, a liar will not tarry in his sight. That's why we need to be saved. Because we're born liars. Amen. We can't stop lying on our own. Amen. We need the power of God in us. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Liars will not tarry in God's sight, and a liar will have his part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. We need Jesus. He's the only one that can take that lying tongue out of ours. He's the only one that can cleanse us from sin. Because as long as you don't have Jesus, you're going to continue to be a liar. Because the spirit that is in you is the spirit of the devil. And the Bible makes it plain that he's the father of lies. The Bible says he lied from the beginning. So he got us in trouble when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. So we understand, we should understand that our relationship with the serpent is through the devil. And the devil is yet operating in the land. He's yet operated in the hearts and the mind of men. Just look at the headlines. Amen. Look at the news every time it comes on. It's not just in Jacksonville, it's all over. Amen. How sad it was about those young children out there got killed. Amen. They were on the corner, selling something for the church. Two men hijacked the car and lost control and killed three children and mothers fighting for their life. Amen. It's sin. Sin, sin, sin. It's sin, sin in us. Amen. Amen. That's why God says, look to me. Look, look. Amen. I'm a savior. I only can save you. You need to be saved. You need to be delivered. You can't do it on your own. God only can save us. Salvation is a gift that comes only from God. As Moses made a serpent and put it on a pole because of the fiery serpents that were killing the people, God has given us someone to look at. To deliver us from our sins. Because as surely as sin remains in you, you're going to die. Just like the fiery serpents caused them to die, the Bible tells us that those who die without Jesus, you're going to go and face the second death. That's where you're going to be placed in the lake of fire and you will be in torment forever and ever. And that is what is facing mankind who do not know Jesus. And just as God provided a way for people to be delivered and saved from those snakes, God has provided a way for us to be delivered and saved from that serpent Satan. We don't have to die from the sting that Satan has put on us. I'm glad that God has provided a way for us as well. Amen. Let's go to John, the 3rd chapter. We know it very well, but let's see what God says. John chapter 3. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses lifted up the serpent on that pole in the wilderness so that the folks that were bitten by the fiery serpents would not die. The word of God says, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that we won't have to die. Thank God. Because unless he was lifted up, saints, we would be eternally lost. But thank God, God has provided a way so that we will not have to die, but we can live. We can look to Jesus and live. Because Jesus is the life giver. Let's look at the 8th chapter of John. Same book. John chapter 8. The 28th verse. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that pleases him. Thank God for his word, saints. I hope we caught on to that last verse, part of that verse where Jesus declared that, for I do always those things that pleases him. And that is why I say that as children of God, with Christ living in us, and the life that I live is not I, but it's Christ. Christ always do those things that pleases him. And because he is our life, he causes us to always do those things that pleases him. You know, I hear a lot of folks saying what you can't do, but I'm a preacher that like to preach about what you can do. I like to let you know that we can live this life. I want you to know that you're not trying to live this life by yourself. Amen. Yes, you see folks who are falling by the wayside, but you don't look at them. We look at Jesus. Amen. Because some folks falling by the wayside, they didn't have what they thought they had. And a lot of times we're looking at people, and the Bible says if the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. God wants us to look to Jesus, and we can look to Jesus because he is our Savior. We can do what God says because Jesus is in us, causing us to do. Christ in us, God in us, causing us to will. Listen to what the Bible says. God is in us, causing us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And that's why the scriptures say we're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. We have to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are his. This is not me. It's God. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. I can't do it. I can't do what I want to do. I have to do what God says. And I'm glad that God has given me the power to do what he says. I can live right. I can obey God's word. I can live a holy life in this evil world because God has assured me that I can do all things through Christ. Saints, through Christ, it's not I, it's Christ which strengtheneth me. There is no failure in God. None whatsoever. So we find out as we go to the 12th chapter, same book, chapter 12, 32nd verse. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." As Moses was lifted up in the the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But now let's look what Jesus has to say. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 33, here's the answer, here's the key. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus had reference to his being lifted up was his dying on the cross. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt. Amen. And those of us who will become saved, we have to look at Jesus. We have to look at his suffering, his dying on Calvary's cross. We have to see that he was there, and he was there because of our sins. And really, because the way the cross was done, it causes you to have to look up. Amen. And I want you to know today, we need to look up. We need to look to Jesus, saints. Jesus' blood was shed for our sins. Oh, I thank God. You know, when the snake bites you, there's an antidote. And it's a remedy to get rid of the poison. It's something that will work against an evil or an unwanted condition. We have an evil and unwanted condition. Amen. And it's sin. And our antidote is the blood of Christ. His blood will make you whole. His blood will cleanse you from all sins. Can I get an amen? You know when they get the natural snake, y'all heard about them milking the rattlesnake? Amen. And they get that because they want to make an anti-venom so that they can put it in there. It will counteract the poison. But they had to get the snake that had the poison to get it. All right? God didn't need the devil to get something from him to fight against him. God had power to do it all by himself. It's the blood of Jesus. His blood will cleanse you. His blood will make you whole. His blood. Jesus' blood. He spilled his blood on Calvary. And it's the antidote for the sin that is in us. It will get rid of the evil that is in us. It will cleanse us from sin. It will make us whole. He had to die. He had to spill his blood. But there's healing in his blood. Healing. Now, let me get this straight now. Because some folks think there's the healing of the body. No, it's the healing of your sin. That's why Jesus died, to heal our sin sickness. Amen. Man, he didn't die to make us rise up and walk. You remember when they let that man down? couldn't walk. He hadn't died. He told him, man, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Amen. So he didn't have to die in order to heal. He is the healer. But there is a healing that we need, and it was the sin sick healing. Amen. We were sin sick, and the blood of Jesus makes us. So it's interesting that the blood is the life of the body. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus is the life giver. He gives us life. He gives us eternal life. He gives us a life that we can't lose. And because I have eternal life, I can't go back and sin. Because when we were sinners, we were dead. But Jesus resurrected us from the dead, and he's made us alive in him. Thank God for Jesus. He had to die to pay our sin debts. But we have to look to him to live. Think about that. He died for us to look to him in faith. There's faith again, believing that he's the blood he shed, the life he gave was for my sin. And if I look to him in faith and ask him to forgive me, he will forgive me. He will make me whole. He will come to live in me, and he will cause me to live forever. Now, those folks that looked at that pole, they didn't live forever, but Jesus caused us to live forever. Can I get an amen? Oh, saints, verse 15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Look to Jesus if you want eternal life. Look to him in faith. Remember, confess, turn, repent, turn from your sins, and look to Jesus and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you. Ask him to make you whole. Ask him for the Holy Ghost. And if you ask for the Holy Ghost, the Bible says he'll give it to you. Oh, I thank God he came that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there it is again, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you look to Jesus in faith, Jesus will make it sure that you won't die. He will give you life. He'll make sure you don't have to worry about the second death. Because with everlasting life, you can't die again. With everlasting life, that means you're going to spend an eternity with God. And as I close, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you want to be saved, look to Jesus. For God sent him here to save us, save his people from their sins. As I close, I want you to know once he saves you, he will keep you. Remember that, saints. Once God saves you, he will keep you. You're not in and out, up and down, round about. You're steadfast, unmovable. Amen. You're committed to God's work because we know that he will uphold us. He will strengthen us. He will keep us. Look to Jesus. Everyone, please stand.